As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, everybody working up. Everybody's working.
With that, time's yours.
If we've said it once, we've said it at least four times this year. Only weird games. We might have said it 20 times over the course of the history of this show now, but the Sunday night to Monday night to from Sunday afternoon to Monday night to COVID, maybe happening, suspended, postponed, canceled. Nope, it's happening. Everything leading up to Chiefs Patriots was an absolute cluster, I would say. And they end up making the game happen on Monday night. The Chiefs win in, you really need a no question blowout, 26-10. I didn't watch, but I guess the Chiefs offense probably crushed it. And Cam Newton clearly couldn't get the offense going. That's what I imagine happened from this game I didn't see.
Hey, you know, if it was blacked out in your market there, Josh, because it was a postponement game played on a Monday night. Hey, did you know the Chiefs are just the fourth team in NFL history to have back-to-back Monday night football games, but not with the same broadcasting partner. Anyway, as our guy, Rich Fan said to me on Twitter at halftime last night, only period, weird period, games period, to which I put it all caps, only period, weird period, games period, vote period.
I was on the ground for 30 seconds after I saw that tweet.
Now you could say, what's Nate doing here? Clearly I'm just, you know, promoting what the Chiefs are promoting, yep, which is t-shirts that say vote.
Passionate and
only weird and only weird games. That's all I'm doing. It's just their voter registration program. I'm not You thought this was about somebody else in a different city?
Who else?
No. Anyway.
No.
The idea that a team got, again, and I kind of said this last week, but a team woke up at 6 to get on a bus, to get on two different planes, to fly to Kansas City, to get on two more different buses, to go to the stadium, to get waxed, and everybody kind of knew the outcome before kickoff, right? It's just like, I mean, look, people are human. It's weird. And the Chiefs offense was like, you know, hibernating for like 25 minutes. And the defense understands that they're in a spotlight for like the second game in a row. And I've played pretty well, all things considered. This is the second half the season, Josh. Half the season is, hey, whoa. That ain't their quarterback. That's half the season.
Half the season
is literally them saying, that's not their quarterback. That's not who I prepared for. And you see the upside of it with Justin Herbert, and you see the downside of it with Brian Hoyer, who, no disrespect, that dude is better at throwing the football than a large percentage of the country. It's just, hey, man, he hadn't played football yet, and the clock in his head was malfunctioning.
He had a miscalibrated sundial. You're just saying the clock in his head is really kind, because he had some, like, rookie Josh Allen moments where he's just like, young man, throw the ball. Except for he's 90 years old and has been in the league for three decades. Like, what? Anyway. At least Jarrett Stidham had, like, a couple of moments. He had a couple of moments with the Chiefs' way, but, like, he was trying. Brian Hoyer was just, he just took the snap and stood there until somebody showed up. Anyway. That's Nate Taylor, which you probably know. I'm Josh Abrisco, which you may know. No Seth Kaiser today. And Nate, I don't know if you saw, it was right before we started. Seth actually sent a voice memo kind of explaining where he was at, and I told him I'd play it.
Oh.
Just to kind of let him get his few cents in. So I'm just going to hit, if you're just good with us doing it kind of here at the top of the show, I'm just going to hit it real quick here. Just 1 second.
Okay.
Hey, it's Seth, don't you know? And I'm up here in the Great White North in Minnesota, and I'm just feeling a little under the weather, and I'm not going to be able to be on Time's Ours today. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that the Chiefs running game hasn't been brought up on this podcast in, I think, 5 consecutive shows. Anyway, establish the run. Only running backs matter. The Chiefs defense is pretty good, and I can't remember who plays quarterback for this team. I'll be back as soon as I'm feeling better. Brett Veach forever. Only run the ball. Seth Kaiser from Minnesota.
I mean, wow, what a crazy message from Seth. That's. I hope he's feeling better.
Yeah, I hope he feels better because, do we need to reach out to Jazz? Yeah, this is not the Seth I'm aware of, but, yeah, you know, sickness does make people do weird decisions. I'm just going to say that. You know, we would advise Seth that wherever he is, stay there. Yeah. No need to move.
No need
to get in the car. No need to go anywhere. Just stay and get healthy.
Yeah.
But hey, I mentioned before, you know, a certain sickness can make a certain individual do certain things.
Is that the equivalent? Do you think that he was on some Remdesivir and sent that message? Is that what you're saying? I've learned a lot of funny sounding drug names recently.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
Do we need to be the guys in the white coat in front of the microphone and say, hey,
Seth is he's never felt better. He just hates throwing the football now. And I got another one.
It's situational. So here's the thing. It's me, Seth, again. Talking into a walkie-talkie, maybe? I haven't fully thought this out. All that matters is situational football. No aggregate stats, because they're all bad.
I'm feeling fine.
Seth Kaiser signing up. Not permanently, of course, just for now.
The idea that this man didn't bring up EPA once,
I don't even know him anymore.
People change. It happens.
Yeah, it really does. So with that being said, no Seth, but both of us are here, and maybe Seth will send another voice memo at some point. I don't know. It's really not like him. But the thing that you wrote about up in The Athletic right now is not the Chiefs' offense. It's not anything that they did while moving the ball. The story is about the defense, and you know, you mentioned last week, like, defense was a huge part of the conversation because they took a very good offense and really just made it look like it looked. I've used this word now a couple times to describe the Patriots or the Chiefs' offense, Chiefs' defense. Excuse me, good God, the Chiefs' defense versus the Ravens' offense. It's unpleasant, but like the Ravens' offense looked constipated against the Chiefs. Like it was not moving as it usually did. With the Patriots, I'll tell you kind of a place where I at least feel like I need to hedge a little bit. It was against Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. Like, this game looks different with Cam Newton at quarterback, but with all that being said, you came away impressed by the Chiefs' defense, I know, and rightfully so, even noting the opposing quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you have to be aware that we're 4 games into the season. It is going to be an unusual year, of course. Just getting on the field is a plus. Just getting through 60 minutes of football relatively healthy is a huge bonus. Mike Dana was the only guy on the team that had a real injury last night. You know, with the hamstring strain. So we'll see where he goes. So those are the first two things. You play who's in front of you. Like, the Chiefs don't decide, hey, I want Brian Hoyer. Like,
right.
They don't want that.
You're right.
They really don't. And Frank Clark sort of mentioned the idea that, like, hey, we were really looking forward to playing Cam Newton because he's playing really well. We spent a whole week not looking at Brian Hoyer film. Why mm-hmm. would we? Mm-hmm. Because of the unusual circumstances, the way I sort of calculated and estimated it based on when the game was postponed and when kickoff occurred, they had about 27 hours for Steve Spagnuolo and his defensive staff to basically come up with their new game plan, knowing fully well that Cam Newton was not getting on the plane to arrive for Arrowhead's game. So, yes, it's a lesser player, but Bill Belichick is still a really, really good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Josh McDaniels, he no dummy. Like, mm-hmm. the Patriots mm-hmm. didn't lose last night because of the coaching. I want to be very clear about that. They had a game plan. They stayed true to it. Shout out to you, John Harbaugh. Because mm-hmm. what the Chiefs did the week before was literally take away the best player on offense for the Baltimore Ravens, who, by the way, are a better team than the New England mm-hmm. Patriots, by the way, on the road, by the mm-hmm. way, with an understanding that, hey, if we don't show up, they gonna embarrass us. So mm-hmm. you take all that goodness from a week ago, and for any fan who may complain that, like, hey, maybe they weren't up for this game, maybe they didn't play as well as they should have, hey, maybe I would have loved for them to only give up 3 points or 6 points instead of 10. I looked this up last night and was shocked, Josh,
mm-hmm.
to realize that they are second in the league in points allowed, okay?
Yeah.
They're not, they've given up 20, 20, 20, 10. In a NFL that is exploding with points everywhere. Okay,
the Browns scored 49 points and Baker Mayfield threw for like 7 yards this weekend. Yes. Like, that's just a thing that happened. Yeah.
Right. And look, the Cowboys aren't very good.
He threw for 165, by the way. Holy God. Anyway.
I mean, it's like they held Lamar Jackson to 97 yards passing.
Yeah.
And then they made Brian Hoyer look like Brian Hoyer. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't play down to their opponent. I just... Like, we can get to the offense, and that claim is very much true in some sense, mm-hmm. Because the Chiefs' offense is very emotional, is the way I'll say it. But,
mm-hmm.
but the defense has done exactly what it's supposed to do. Like, hey, there's yeah. Brian Hoyer. All right, 10 points or less.
Yep.
They did it. Hey, the ball, like, Tyrann Mathieu was really good at being like, hey, we just caught the balls that they threw to us. It's yeah. just like,
that Julian Edelman one, he literally, it was volleyball. It was like, bump, right. set, here, Tyron, take it. And he did.
Yeah, so on defense in the NFL, the fewer times you make a mistake, the offense is going to give you opportunities. It's just a matter of whether you take advantage of them or not. The Chiefs have pretty much done everything they can through 4 games on defense to do that, with the understanding that they missed a billion tackles against the Chargers. And then, hey, maybe if they would have done better in that game, they would have held the Chargers to less than 20 points. So, again, weird season, but this defense needs to be praised. We're a quarter through the year, and they're better than anybody could have ever expected, considering the fact, and I know you're going to mention this too, Josh, who's playing secondary today? Because that's what the season feels yep. like. Hey, who in the back end today, other than Tyrann yep. Mathieu and Juan Thornhill? It's just it's a smorgasbord. And they're cooking up a delicious meal right now.
And so here's the thing that I want to make sure I absolutely don't sound like I'm doing. Everything you just said is true. And, you know, they're cooking up a delicious smorgasbord right now. A wonderful word that we don't use nearly enough in our day-to-day lives. But, like, if this was an episode of Chopped, you know, they were going up against, like, they were playing in Kids Chopped yesterday. That was their opponent. Like, Ed's a talented kid. That kid chef yeah, is better yeah. than I am.
Yeah, he's, like, made it. He's made it as far as he can get, which absolutely. Is, you know, a very respectable level.
An incredibly good chef for, you know, that's not Cam Newton cooking things up. So the opponent matters, I think, and how we evaluate what this defense is as a whole and going forward, which is also why it matters absolutely, like, equally, if not more, what they did against Lamar Jackson last week. Because you want to talk about the opponent mattering. They, like you said, 20-20-20-10 with a offense that has Deshaun Watson, and then Bill O'Brien, you're too pure for this world. We'll talk about you later. But, mm-hmm. you know, you still have Deshaun Watson, and then you have You know, the game of, wait a second, who are we playing? Justin Herbert, who has looked pretty good from that point on. Like, he's had a nice start.
Did you see what he did to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for three and a half quarters?
Yeah, he was.
And
he
that
was
defense, just, and you could say that defense is just as good as the Chiefs defense.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great point. He's played against some good defenses and looked good. He played well. And then you get, I think what, like, everyone would have probably argued was like the, at least the second best offense in the AFC, no question, coming into that game. And they do it against Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. So all of that, like, I really don't want to say like this doesn't count because it's against Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. Like you said, like Matthew said, they had opportunities and actually maximized them, like directly turned them into points. They also did do it against quarterbacks that, like we said, were not Cam Newton. My question for you, though, is now, with the four-game sample size, and then this obviously being the most recent one, what are you willing to project sort of from this point forward? Also, to your point, acknowledging that they have been out at least one, and really in every game except for the first one, without two cornerbacks every single game, because they've been out for Bashaud Breeland for all four of them.
Yep.
Ward gets hurt in week two. Snead gets hurt in week three. They have been banged up. And last night, like, Rashad Fenton looked like a Pro Bowler for pretty much 60 minutes, minus like a play or two.
I mean, just, it's a great point. I'll be straight up. When the Chiefs drafted Rashad Fenton, I said, great special teams player. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, like, redeemable, gonna be solid, could be, a four-phase guy for Dave Toe, and the occasional spot-up guy when you absolutely need him. I did not see him playing, one, well in the playoffs last year, two, winning a Super Bowl in his hometown of Miami, and then three, understanding, one, the situation that was going to be in front of him. Hey, Bashaud's not going to be here for the first 4 weeks. I get to train and really work on my craft against Tyreek Hill every day in training camp. Mm-hmm. I can only get better from here. And the dude balled out last night. I know he gave up a touchdown, but that was a really good throw from Jarrett Stidham with pretty good coverage from Rashad Fenton. Yep. As Tony Romo said, he's thinking because of N'Keal Harry's size, maybe they're going to throw a back shoulder pass. Oh no, it's behind me. it's a fade route. And he threw the ball in like the one spot in the corner of the end zone that it had to be for N'Keal Harry's touchdown. So look, obviously, cornerbacks are going to give up touchdowns, but, like, he played so well. He baited Jarrett Stidham where he knew he had safety help over the top and was like, no, I got it!
Yeah.
And caught the interception.
He made that. That was, we don't talk about, like, closing speed on sort of, it was a very short burst, but he just showed up. Like, I didn't blame Jarrett Stidham for throwing that ball because his receiver, I thought, was going with him, and Fenton just walked in between it. It was great. It was a great play.
It was a great play. So, what this goes down to, and I, you try to ask questions to the guys on the team so you can get the most information possible, or something that is not truly known to you, or you're sort of confirming, is this reality or is this somewhat different from their perspective? And we've talked about this before, Josh, along with Seth, before the season even started with training camp, about how one of the undertones of this entire season was going to be the coaching staff never changed. And Tyrann Mathieu saying, no, we have legitimately great coaches is why, L'Jarius Sneed can be arguably the best cornerback in the league for 2 weeks, even though he was a fourth round pick before getting hurt. It's the reason that Rashad Fenton can just slide right in, where naturally I think it's understandable for people to be like, oh, he's a slot corner, because that's all I've really seen from him. To now be put on the outside, and he's mugging N'Keal Harry, even though he's taller and stronger than him.
And Nate, he didn't even start week one. He didn't even... He was their fifth corner in their own minds, I can say confidently, because Breeland was out, Ward is one, Fenton started... Or excuse me, Snead started over him, Antonio Hamilton started in the slot in week one. Like, Fenton was their fifth corner.
It just... It's impressive. They know the matchups. They feel confident in what their guys can do. They only ask them to really do those things mostly. And I know that this person has understood the entire landscape of the league. Probably better than I have, because, like, it's kind of his job. I'm only focused solely on the Chiefs. But, like, Dan Orlovsky made a very good point that will essentially show up in my article today on The Athletic. But not only do they have really good coaches, most notably Sam Madison and Dave Merritt for the secondary players, along with, obviously, Steve Spagnuolo running the whole system, but it's unquestioned now through four games. They have the best duo of safeties in the league. And yeah. And Dan Orlovsky sort of said that last night, where he's like, hold up! You're telling me Juan Thornhill tore his ACL in January, essentially. Mm-hmm. And he's playing really well. And then you know what you're going to get from Tyrann Mathieu. So, what? Like,
yeah,
it's just one of those things that you don't think about a ton, because obviously it's a little bit more exciting, a little more sexy for Chris Jones and Frank Clark to just maul people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill have one of the best deep connections in the history of the sport. Travis Kelce is a Hall of Famer. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is spinning and making dudes miss in the open field. Obviously, the play calling from Andy Reid is just like out of this world in a lot of ways. A lot of love for Eric Bieniemy. Hell, even Mike Kafka's calling plays, guys, and they're getting into the end zone. But, like, you think about all of that, and it's like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs have the best secondary in the league right now because they have the best safeties in the league. And Rashad Fenton, the fifth guy that Josh mentioned, oh, he can have a career night, too, just because why not? Because yeah. We coach him up for that. And it's just, it's wildly impressive. And I think fans should really understand, if you're Ben Neiman, Anthony Hitchens, Damian Wilson, and even Willie Gay Jr., who made his first start in the NFL last night, you have the easiest job.
Yeah.
Just go tackle somebody.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Like, you don't have to blitz. Like, it's fun when Steve Spagnuolo lets you blitz. But, like, hey, Anthony Hitchens, ball carrier, you tackle him.
Next Make it play. Happen. Yeah.
Because Frank Clark is going to be harassing the quarterback. Chris Jones, when healthy, is going to destroy the interior. Hell,
did not play in this game, for the record, in case anybody missed it. Chris Jones did not play. He was inactive.
And they only gave up 10 points. When you know the Patriots were going to run the football. But hey, you got Mike Pinnell back, who was like a consistent guy on first and second down, who's going to make life miserable for an interior offensive lineman trying to get push up the middle. Obviously, we just mentioned everybody in the secondary playing their, you know what's off. Like, if you're just Ben Neiman, hey, there's the football. Let me go get it and pick up this fumble recovery. Hey, if I'm Anthony Hitchens, all I do is just don't miss a tackle. Just get everybody lined up right. Tell everybody to play call. Don't miss a tackle. It is literally the easiest job of any linebackers in the league right now, because the front four is playing really, really well. And the secondary, to Dan Orlovsky's point, is like, they may have the best safeties in the league, which makes everything so much easier for a linebacker.
And even then, like, they've also been playing a lot of safeties in general. Like, well, obviously, Mathieu and Thornhill. By the way, we hadn't talked about this a lot, but, like, it was just good to see Thornhill have a couple nice plays, because I was still kind of at that point of, like, just, he's just fresh off of an ACL tear, and so I'm always, I don't know. Yep. I've been a little nervous and just kind of hoping that he ends up looking full speed and everything. He looked great. That's great. It's just because, like you said, it was in January. It makes me nervous. I know that they're not going to put him out there if they don't think he's ready, but I'm not telling you it's rational. I'm telling you it made me nervous. But I'm very glad to see him playing as well as he has been. But even as they have, like, lost all of these numbers at corner, which they've been, they threw numbers at the cornerback position coming into the year. Like, we're just going to add up all these dudes that cost us a grand total of 74 cents and, like, some late round draft picks. And it's just going to work. Like, Bo Pete Keys is the only corner who hasn't been on the field yet. And they traded up for him in the seventh. So I don't know. I mean, like, we'll see what he ends up doing. But with all of those numbers being thrown there, those numbers have been tested and it's worked. But now you see, like, Dan Sorensen still gets a ton of snaps. Tedrick Thompson keeps showing up here and there. Like, they really have added to that safety group to just try to cover up even some of the holes whenever you're just like, well, we're running out of defensive backs. Spag seems like he can just say, yeah, no, Dan Sorensen and Tedrick Thompson will be the ones that help us round out this unit, and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, and Tedrick Thompson, just play the middle of the field, bring the boom. Yep. Hey, Dan Sorensen. You're going to be doing tight ends and linebacker, or tight ends and running backs until the end of time. And hey, just don't miss an open field tackle. Hey, I'm going to occasionally reward you with a blitz. Tony Romo was really good last night explaining, like, hey, Because of the formation, because of the down, because of the look, because you know the Patriots want to run the ball to keep the ball in time of possession. Look, guys, just keep tweeting time of possession at Josh.
Please,
at
I love it. Yes, yum, just, yum, just yum. Just trigger this man.
Trigger this man.
With trigger me.
Time of possession. The Patriots were like, we got to run time of possession, kids. And they're the best team at doing that in the AFC. Obviously, the 2018 AFC Championship game. That being said, even Dan Sorensen understands all of that and understands that his principle is, oh, I can just come right up and tackle the running back even before he gets a head start. And it's just,
yep.
I mean, this defense, they know the system now. They're all healthy. Most of them are still in their prime. And Steve Spagnuolo is okay with having tendencies, breaking those tendencies. And he's the best defensive coordinator right now outside of Bill Belichick at adjusting. And that's kind of what I wanted to put in the story near the top is that, yeah, you're going to win. Like, you were going to win before Cam Newton got COVID, okay? Like, let's be real. They were going to win before Cam Newton got COVID. Nothing in my mind says they weren't going to win. They were close to double-digit favorites before all of this happened on Saturday morning. They were going to win, but you still have to adjust. You still have to game plan accordingly. You still have to make sure you guys don't make mental mistakes when they're playing defense, and they didn't do that. So it's a credit to the Chiefs defense. I know it's a 16-point like win, but you can kind of still appreciate what the team is doing given all the unusual circumstances. And look, they're the best at adjusting to them right now, or one of the best teams to adjust to them, because they're 4-0. And Bill Belichick, between the second quarter and the third quarter, ran 29 plays. 29 to the Chiefs 5. And didn't score any points. I mean, that is great defensive play. Understanding the situation, bending but not breaking, and when the moment's there to ensure that Brian Hoyer clock ain't working, you still got to make the play, right? Like, you still, like, I don't, like, if Brian Hoyer is slightly below wins above replacement average player, you still got to go make the play. You still got to strip sack him if you're Taco Charlton. You still got to beat the right tackle and get there and execute what, you know, you've been taught by Brendan Daly, the defensive line coach, who used to be with the New England Patriots. So, like, you still got to make the plays. And, again, we're going to get to a time in January where somebody's going to try to do the same thing. 29 plays to the Chiefs 5 with over, you know, with halftime in the middle of it. And the Chiefs defense has shown so far they'll be ready for such a strategy.
I think that's a great way of sort of framing what the future looks like, because I mentioned this earlier already in this show, but I've been asking myself this now for a couple of weeks. It's just like, is there anything to all these yards, getting the red zone, the Chiefs defense then sort of tightens up and doesn't typically give up points? We hear all the time that, you know, the field gets shorter in the red zone. That it becomes legitimately more difficult to move the ball whenever the field has a back to it in a way that it doesn't really have from the 50.
Yep.
The thing that I think is going to be the most telling is simply just, can they keep being that good in the red zone? Can they keep limiting teams from actually scoring those points? But it's not just a percentage game. It's not just they've gotten lucky in those regards, because you're right. Once you get to those points or nothing situations, it really does come down to, like, all right, well, who's going to make the play here? And, you know, when it's Brian Hoyer, you don't really expect him to very often. But when it's Lamar Jackson, you do. And time again, so far through 4 games, the Chiefs defense has made plays in those moments.
They have. And, I mean, you just have to understand, nothing is going to be right this year. nothing's going to be normal, or we shouldn't normalize how absurd the season may be already.
Yeah.
You know, a week or a month into the season. But I mean, you're right, Josh, in the sense that, look, they are a healthy group by and large. They're playing better from week 1 to week 4, and we'll just see how much that trend sort of continues to where, you know, they want to be known as a dominant defense. It's going to be really hard to accomplish that, because the Chiefs offense on most days is a Death Star.
Right.
So I just think for everything that the Chiefs defense is trying to do, they've accomplished it so far. And sure, the tests will get tougher because Josh Allen is just waiting.
That game's going to be so freaking weird, man.
Just waiting
Thursday
to show everybody
at
how good I am. How good is Josh Allen against the league's, you know, against the AFC's best defense right now, based on points allowed?
Can we skip to that? Hey, listen, Vegas. Wait. You just play Buffalo. What if we offer you? You get a bye week. It's just that we just forfeit 2-0. Chiefs take the dub here. Don't worry about it. Rest up, and we're gonna go ahead and skip ahead. We're gonna go ahead and move that Thursday night Buffalo game to Sunday this week. Is that good with everybody? Can we just do that? I would like that, please.
There's going to be third down snaps, critical third down snaps, with Josh Allen trying to pass the football with a projection of Frank Clark, Tano Passanio, and Chris Jones chasing after this human being. Lord knows what's going to happen.
Oh, it's gonna be so good.
Only the Lord knows.
Oh, and even at this point, if I was the Lord, I'd be like, no, don't show me yet. No. I'd be covering my, one hand over my eyes, like one hand over the TV screen. No. No, I'll watch it on Thursday whenever everybody else gets to see it. I want nothing to do with how Josh Allen plays football. I don't want to be given the opportunity to change anything. I'm going to watch this game. I want to be surprised. Because at that point, like, you know, could God create a rock so big even he couldn't move it? I have no idea. Could God create a quarterback so chaotic that even he can't predict it? Yeah, and his name's Josh Allen.
Now, I know I'm gonna this might be blasphemous to a lot of Chiefs fans, but my last point on the defense, Josh kind of alluded to this, although I know Seth will hear this later and be like, oh no. There's one thing I learned from Bob Sutton, okay?
Whoa, boy, okay.
The year was 2018, kids.
It was.
And it was my first year covering the Chiefs. And Bob Sutton would say all the time, yards don't matter, guys. They don't matter. Like, who gives a bleep about yards? We talking about yards? Yards. He would say, I could give up 1,000 yards if I only give up 17 points. Like, yeah. I'll trade that any day of the week. Have you seen 15? And this is 15 at his most, like, you know, primitive state. Like,
his most Josh Allen-y.
Yeah, he hasn't even polished yet. He's not even shiny yet. So, the problem was, Eric Berry had an issue. You know, D4 was offsides. I mean, hey, I don't have love for Steven Nelson. He also got torched in the AFC Championship game. So, I mean, look, sometimes it's the Joes. Sometimes it's the Joes and not the X's and O's. But Bob Sutton is kind of right, because you can give up yards. And by the way, the Patriots, I know we're going to get to the Chiefs offense. The Patriots defense was like, yeah, Tyreek Hill can have all the yards he wants. Lord, don't let him in the end zone. Lord, don't let him in the end zone. Like, we're going to bully Travis Kelce to death.
Yep.
With the hope that these dudes don't get in the end zone. And for almost three quarters, it worked. Yeah. Because some of the best defensive minds, Bill Belichick, Steve Spagnuolo, know, hey, we have to use the field to our advantage. We have to clamp down later. And I can give up 500 yards, but if I get 4 turnovers, if the quarterback doesn't play well, if we influence the wide receivers enough, hey, maybe we only give up 10 points. Maybe we still end up winning. And you can look at all the statistics you want on a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon and be like, oh, the Chiefs only give up so many yards. Mm-hmm. And all of those dudes, even Bob Sutton's like, don't look at the yards. Look at the turnovers. Look at the third down percentage. Look at the red zone defense. Points allowed. Like, it sucks if you give up a 50-yard touchdown, but the Chiefs ain't going to do that because they got Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill in the back end. So. Yeah.
That's true. That logic does hold.
Bob Sutton is out here like, they're doing it. They're just doing it 2 years before I wanted to do it. Or 2 years after I wanted to do it. But, like, who cares about yards if you're only giving up 17.5 points a game? Like, the Chiefs do that all year. They will go undefeated, ladies and gentlemen.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I have a thought on that.
I thought I heard a cough come in. Sorry, Nate. I'm playing another voice memo right now. I got a better quality.
I heard
the triumphant return of Seth Kaiser. Go ahead. You made it. You made it just in time. You made it just in time for start talking about The Office.
Oh, I'm only in here for like 2 minutes because I heard someone ask if God could create something like Josh Allen, and I am here to defend the deity of God Almighty and say, yes, he could. He could build a
I'm saying yes. You don't have, you're not, this is not a debate. I'm saying God has created something so chaotic, even he himself could not predict its action.
It's a wild, wild thing. I had a few free minutes, and I thought to myself, you know, if I just click this hot little button, I can come in here and say hello to my good buddies.
And ruin Danielle's day.
And ruin Danielle's day. And ruin it. Danielle, I love you. I love you. I love you. But I had
but,
to.
Love you, girl.
I had to.
But good luck layering this file in.
I had to come in here and just let you guys know very, very briefly. I bet you guys have said so many things that are so correct. I just wanted to let you guys know the title of the article I'm currently working on for the Chief in the North newsletter.
Yes.
Yeah. The title, and I haven't started my research yet. Haven't even started it. So I don't know the answer. Did the Chiefs running the ball cost them versus New England? I look into every drive to see whether a common narrative from Monday night is myth or reality. Fellas, I don't know how this is going to end up, but I know come Thursday or Friday, Josh and I are either going to be best friends or fighting like a cat and a dog, and it's going to be great.
And I'm just Jeezy out here rubbing my hands, y'all.
I can hear it. I can hear it. No, listen, Seth. I mean, I think at the very least, you can definitely confirm that first round pick was well spent. The Chiefs' offense is at a higher level than
and
it ever
only,
was. Any
if
point
only
in the last
they drafted a
years.
Cornerback in the first round, maybe their defense would be good. I don't know. I mean, man,
or an offensive lineman, so it could actually elevate the running game. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Because Lord knows, man. See, this is where you want to talk about light boxes and linebacker fits. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I would think. No, I would think. No, you're right. Like the times they ran the ball against like a 5-man box, that was a good running situation. You'd think they'd be better at it with all of that that investment they made. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not looking at the film.
So what? So exactly, you haven't looked.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you?
Yeah,
why
no,
you?
I, so I don't,
let me
I don't,
let me just I, ask you what I would ask someone on Twitter: if you haven't looked, mm-hmm. why are you talking?
Because this is a podcast.
Oh, right.
It's because this is a podcast.
Because we've got the job.
The rule that Nate and I were playing by today, Seth, is that we were going to record a podcast before the All 22 came out because that's what the podcast does.
Hey, Seth. I have a message for you. Only, period, weird, period, games, period. Vote!
Only weird games.
Vote!
Only weird games.
I just look. Here's the thing.
No, hey, you might
I look
be
across
right,
the
Josh.
Field yesterday.
I don't know. That's the beauty of
I
it.
I also looked at field. I looked across the field yesterday, and I saw Rex Burkhead. And thought, man, he would have been a nice fit in this Chiefs offense. Too bad you can't find guys like that in the sixth round. You know what I mean? Like that's sort of what I was thinking. Looking at some of the running backs, the Peyton. No, my actual argument has always just simply been that he was not going to move the needle a first round draft pick.
I know it's,
but you don't care about that part of the argument, really. Like you've said that honestly. Like that's not me being facetious. Like you don't really care about the cost after the fact, and that's we're never going to have the same conversation
well,
at the same
what
time
you,
because of
part of the problem with that is you have to make an assumption about what this other first round pick would or wouldn't have done. So if we assume that this player they would have taken in the first round would have been a good player, if we assume that, then we can have a discussion about impact. If we also assume that they can't get that same impact from, like, I don't know, a Rashad Fenton or a L'Jarius Sneed or et cetera, or Kelechi Osemele, right?
that sort of thing. Uh-huh. If we make those assumptions,
position groups that historically are much harder to replace with a guy of that caliber than a running back. Yes.
Well, are they?
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Yes. That is like statistically evident. Running backs are easier to replace. That's true.
So in terms of moving the needle,
the specifics of this Chiefs situation have been very different, and I think like their way of going about the cornerback position has been shown to be excellent for them. But yeah,
the circumstances are a little different because the Chiefs just want to be different from everybody else, which has been to their benefit. But
absolutely.
By and large, it is. I see both points. I love you both. I just feel like the Chiefs have the upper hand for Seth here. Weirdly, because Damian Williams isn't around, and we saw what Darrell Williams did yesterday.
Yeah.
Kids, it wasn't great.
And
did anybody see Darwin Thompson last night? Darwin,
no.
Where are you?
Sure did not.
And Darwin,
No. What happened to Darwin Thompson was natural selection. Darwin got bit by it that time.
If you fumble the football in Andy Reid's offense, you don't play the next game.
But
you just don't.
I actually just wanted to pop in though to let you know, Josh. My expectation is I'm going to be totally 100% on your side. After writing this article, I think I'm going to, I mean, not in terms of like the draft pick, but in terms of like running the ball on certain downs and that sort of thing, because that's something you and I have talked about a ton. It's like,
And they did do it more.
I know. So I'm going to go through every drive. I'm so curious. I'm so excited. Hopefully I did not make this a total nightmare for Danielle. I'm recording myself right now, Danielle.
That's all I was going to ask is just make sure you're recording. Otherwise this whole section gets disappeared.
One quick point on what Seth will look at, and I'm wondering if this will also hold up true, because in the middle of the game, and I kind of rewound this just so I can get a look, because the Patriots are so good on defense, like schematically, obviously Bill Belichick, they gave similar, and Patrick Mahomes said this after the game, they gave a similar two deep safety look, similar to what the Texans did, right? Mm-hmm. The difference was they had like six DBs on the field. Mm-hmm. So if it's six DBs with two deep safeties on first down, it's clear that the play call for Patrick Mahomes was to be, if we get this look, we check it down, or the word that he uses on the field is kill. We kill the first play, we go to the second play. The problem with that is, based on tendencies of the first three games, Bill Belichick had told his players, if the Chiefs kill a certain play with a certain look on a two deep safety, with even with six DBs on the field, guys, it's a running play. And most notably, it's a stretch running play.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened, I think, on two snaps, where Patrick goes kill on first down. I don't like the look from a passing option, so now we're going to hand the ball to Clyde. But the defense has now been keyed based on the information that Patrick is giving everybody, because we're in mostly an empty stadium, y'all. And so he hands the ball off, and they're already at a disadvantage because the defense knows, we tricked you into going from one play to the next, and we're ready for the second play just as much as we were the first play. And that's the brilliance of Bill Belichick. And again, the Texans were not as sophisticated in the first game, but they also didn't have the personnel and the players to execute it at a higher level comparably to what the Texans did and what the Patriots did. But it's just something that I think Seth should look at, with the understanding that, like, I rewound it and was like, actually, what needs to happen next week is, if you get a similar look, you kill it, but you keep the original play, which is probably
you're going to see that. They're going to kill it into different passing looks. It's going to be totally – that is such – I just wrote the word kill on a big notebook, which means when my boss comes in here to talk to me about in custody, he's going to be like, Seth, what – The stress getting to you. I wanted to pop in. That was it. Just to tell you guys that was the name of my article, because I'm so curious. So basically what's going to happen here is either I'm going to be able to confirm everyone's narrative, which is kind of what I'm hoping because it's my narrative, or I'm going to have a bunch of people really mad at me and I'm here for it. I got to go put some people in jail. So that's it. I just think you guys are the best. Now I'm going to pop out of here and send this recording to Danielle, and maybe this all gets deleted. It'll be like the podcast rapture now, or the podcast natural selection.
I also want to know why Clyde only got three targets. I know you've already written about him getting more quality targets, but I was absolutely floored by him going 3 for 27 receiving.
I'm going to look at his routes. That's a really good idea.
He had as many targets as Deion Yelder, Darrell Williams, and Nick Kizer combined. They each had one. Clyde had three. I don't get it. Because, like, of all the places that I'm, like, here for Clyde in this offense, it's him catching the ball out of the backfield, which they did a lot against the Patriots in years past, and they didn't do it last night, and I'm confused. Anyway. I feel like I got to give Seth some work. I think he's gone. I think he's finally gone.
He always knew he had the upper hand because he could just vanish.
He could just leave. Yeah, we don't have that luxury of just being able to leave. Unbelievable. Now that we're on the offense, there was something else I wanted to talk. I can't remember what it was. It doesn't matter. But now that we're on the offense, like, you know, Seth mentions that being a predominant narrative. I mean, here's where I'm going to go ahead and just make a couple of statements, and then we can evaluate along with Seth whenever that piece comes out. They ran the ball unsuccessfully on first and second down a good number of times. Not a ton. Yes. Clyde had 16 carries. I'm not saying they did it 20 times.
Right.
But there were a number of times where they ran, and I'm going to use some aggregate stats. But, like, they ran the ball on first and second down to the tune of -0.19 EPA per play. Their success rate was 40% when they ran the ball on early downs. So obviously less than half of the time. Their success rate was about 60% when they threw the ball on early downs. Their overall rushing attack, a little bit on, it was -0.07 EPA per play, 0.09 EPA per play positive whenever they threw the ball over the course of the game. And I think that you're 100% right about, like, what the Patriots were doing. Romo also pointed out there was one point during the game where this is something else I wonder if Seth will try to tackle, that, you know, there was a little bit of you know, oh, the Chiefs have gone, like, vanilla again. And Romo made the point of, like, well, look, I mean, this is a play designed to take a shot. The Patriots covered it well, and so it ended up looking like a little safe kind of throwaway play. So I don't want to dive 100% into – you know what? I also – on the box score that I just read you, it says Chiefs and Patriots, but then it gives me Saints and Dolphins players underneath. So allow me to check my... I'm not sure what's happening here in terms of Ben Baldwin's EPA per play box score. I'm refreshing again. Those numbers checked out for me, but I don't know what's... Now I'm a little bit confused and a little bit concerned. I'll have to double check that. It was worse. It was worse for the running game than I just said it was. Sorry, everybody. Their success rate was a little under 40. Pass rate was about 50 on early downs. Running the ball, -0.12 EPA per play. Passing it, +0.2 per play. It hadn't refreshed from Seahawks Dolphins. Anyway, doesn't matter. Not Ben's fault. Probably my fault. they were not effective running the ball either on early downs or particularly on late downs. And they're better than they're throwing the ball, even with the Patriots defense giving them some difficult looks through the air.
The thing that will always sort of get the Chiefs in a funk is games where you're expected to torch people. Like, mm-hmm. there is a theme now to this. When you have the Chiefs at their full attention, when ESPN says, "Who you got, Chiefs Ravens?" and then somebody runs to the Chiefs locker room and says, "Hold up, fellas, hold up. Before kickoff, they didn't pick any of y'all to win." Like, none of them picked you. Like, when you have their full attention, they will score 30. Problem is, because of human nature, and because this is a COVID year, and because, like, hey, this is really just a 16-game preseason before the real season starts. You're just not going to get them at their best. And thankfully, the Patriots are also part of this equation because, again, they're better than the Texans. And some people did acknowledge this on Twitter that in one of the rare times, I was just as good of a coach as Bill Belichick was last week. Where it's just like, hey, kids, you double-team Kelce, make his life miserable. Yep. We're going to bracket Tyreek Hill, but look, he going to get his yards. We don't care about him. We really care about Kelce because as my buddy Josh Briscoe understands, they established the Kelce. That's the key to the offense. Like, yes, there's a spectacularness of Tyreek Hill, but let that dude do what he do. And hey, when anybody has a football near you, gentlemen, you got to punch it out. You got to punch it out. It's the one thing Matt Patricia has done well as a head coach.
Yep.
So we're not going to get an interception, guys, but we got to get fumbles, and we got to fall on them quickly, and we got to play bend, don't break, and we got to just, again, is Travis Kelce on the sidelines? Hell, hit him anyway. Like, we just got to be physical as all hell, and we got to show a different look, which is like more DBs and linebackers, but that's cool because we got those players. I'm great at this. I'm Bill Belichick. Hell, I listened to Nate Taylor on Times Arts, and I was like, how does he know what we're doing already? Which I want to tell Eric Bieniemy, how did you not know what they were doing already? But anyway, like, the fun part of all of this is you're going to get different looks. Teams are going to play really well against you. They want to prove themselves, I don't know, against the best offense in the league. Hey, dude's got contract years. If you could put the Chiefs in your highlight tape, you might get paid this offseason, man. So all these things are going to be against them, and the Chiefs just, they're going to be like five games. If you're listening, Buffalo, get mm-hmm. ready. Get ready. Because the Chiefs have dominated the Raiders to where I'm not even sure they're going to get up for Raiders-Chiefs. But if the Bills are undefeated, and it's on Thursday night, and everybody's picking the Bills because, hey, short week, Thursday night, let's make Josh Allen our MVP candidate, you will get the full attention of this Chiefs offense. But until then, yep. Hey, we're just going to, like, you know, do some things. Andy Reid's going to still have some really cool jet sweep actions. He's still going to find a way to get the ball to Tyreek Hill. Hell, there was one really good snap from Travis Kelce, which kind of jump-started the offense, mm-hmm. you know, because, again, Josh understands, you established the Kelce. God, that is above all else. So the point is the Ravens are good, but they don't have the same personnel as the Patriots, which makes the Patriots mm-hmm. a better matchup for the Chiefs. Problem is the Raiders can't do either one of those two things.
On right. defense. That's right.
And so
that's right.
It could be better next week. That's all I'm saying. The Bills have a secondary to do yeah. similar things of the Patriots. That will be fun to watch when the Chiefs give their full operational Death Star attention to the Bills. So, like, I'm trying to give you the game plan. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to forge the future for you as best I can with the information I have. But, like, hey, the Patriots are fine. They're really good. It'll be a fun matchup in January if we get it. But, like, Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, had no turnovers, who, by the way, he kind of got lucky, but he'll still didn't have a turnover,
well,
who finally got the star treatment of a rated Super Bowl MVP quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. No kidding.
Said that he had a terrible game. Hello? Did you look on the other side of the field? I mean, Brian Hoyer had a terrible game, Patrick.
That's true.
So if that's the case, they can only get better from here, which is, again, terrifying.
Terrifying.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I think if I didn't watch any other Chiefs games and I heard what you just said, so I'm couching this by saying this isn't a question that I believe to be important at the moment, but something I do want to at least like touch on. You say, hey, you know, this is not their full attention in this game, and it worked out. Like, everything was fine. And it's,
yeah.
My question would be, and may have even been at some point last year or in 2018 or whatever, but my question would be, okay, do we know that they can turn it all the way on all at once? We watched them do it against the Ravens for mm-hmm. the most part. Like, I'm not actually necessarily questioning that. The one thing that I do think holds in a conversation, if I'm trying to play the role of being like, I've said this in a few places now, I'm stealing it from another podcast that I've listened to. It's not a sports podcast, so it's fine. But the phrase is worry about everything, panic about nothing. And that's sort of me as a person most of the time, and it certainly works here for me. Worry about everything, panic about nothing. I think Andy Reid's probably doing some of that also, of like, anything that's not perfect, I'm going to pay attention to, but I'm not going to freak out about it. The one thing from this game that I do think blips on my radar is the fact that the Patriots essentially, like, dropped maybe three picks, or
yeah.
I guess it could be three, maybe four if you're counting the one that the refs dropped for them. Because they got, like, listen, I know Chiefs fans, I know unanimously the response is Tom Brady got that call for 20 years. I don't care.
Right.
I get it. I understand. I'm not telling you you can't feel that way. I'm telling you, you got a gift there. That was a crummy call. With it all was, of that out there, though, like,
it was Marcus Mariota 2017. I mean, yes. His progress had stopped. And it's like, wait, what?
And so, I mean, like, while Mahomes ends up with, you know, averaging 0.2 expected points added per play, which means he's adding a point every five plays, which is still quite good. While you're, you know, understanding that Mahomes' final numbers and overall their output was all still pretty solid, it could have been much worse. There were actual mistakes by him, by the offense in general, that could have bitten them. Again, it didn't. I'm not panicking by any stretch of the imagination, but I have to notice it. I have to say, you know what? That's something that we just don't see from this offense very often, and they got a number of breaks defensively where Julian Edelman puts a ball on a tee for Tyrann Mathieu, where Brian Hoyer gives up a few, like, I think 6 points just voluntarily. Jarrett Stidham tries to do a little too much, a little too late. This game could have gone very, very differently. This was a losable game if the Chiefs weren't by far the luckier team here. I think we at least have to note that. You know what I mean?
I think you can play both parts, honestly. You can say all of that, and I can't disagree with you. I could also say the moment Patrick Mahomes throws an interception, guess what happens, kids? He starts going nuclear again. So
totally fair. Absolutely.
So you could say it both ways. Like, if that fumble occurs, or if, like, a fumble interception, whatever you want to call it, like, if that happens, and say the Patriots get a touchdown, guess who's in everybody's you-know-what? His name is Eric Bieniemy. Guess who goes out there and starts establishing the Kelsey? Patrick Mahomes. Right. Guess who starts blocking better? The offensive line. Like, these guys are human. I think that is one of the biggest things that I did not realize I was going to have to say a lot this year in light of even the pandemic. But these dudes are so human. And I know they say in the NBA you never want a team that, like, feels like they have to turn on the switch. But, like, they can do it and get away with it. And that's even impressive in and of itself. So hey, maybe the rivalry of Chiefs Raiders will get them going. Maybe because they felt like they were sort of embarrassing for three quarters yesterday, they'll play better against a division rival. But hey, division rival games can be closer than usual because both teams know each other really well. But you're right. I mean, Josh, there could have been just as many turnovers on both teams. In an even more, like, what the hell is this Monday Night Football game? I still think if Cam Newton is fully healthy, if this game is played at Sunday on 3:25 Central Time, if Patrick Mahomes even has two turnovers, if Sammy Watkins continues to fumble when teams are aware, I mean the smart teams, that you can punch the football out as he tries to make a guy miss, I still think they win the game, which is, like, also one of the biggest signs of respect. It's like, hey, they won by 16. They also could have won by 16 on Sunday, given perfect scenarios as well. I don't know. Look, the winning streak will end at some point. Like, again, because these guys are human.
In like 2021, like week four.
Like, they won 13 straight games. I mean, I think Chiefs fans are getting greedy. They have every right to be. They have every right to be like, I expect domination and perfection, as if this is Alabama football all of a sudden. But you know, they're human. They're going to lose at some point. But they are winning ways that signal that you're a great football team, which is, like, we can be straight trash on one side of the ball for 25 minutes and be like, all right, cool, I guess we'll still win by double digits against a team that was really well coached, had a mishap at quarterback, but that's not the Chiefs' fault. So they're going to be better next week. I remember Tyreek Hill saying after the Chargers game, oh, we will be better. And it was like, okay, all right, I mean, what? Can't, all right, well, I guess we'll see. And then they just took the soul of the Ravens. So, again, Bills fans, we love y'all. One of the funnest stories of the year. I just, again, I can't wait when a fully focused Death Star operational. Patrick Mahomes is just, I mean, he was perfect against the Ravens. And I have no reason to disbelieve he could be perfect against the Bills, too.
Can I give you, this is the thing I was going to do before Seth showed up like Batman and then disappeared like Batman. Can I give you some Josh Allen stats really quick?
Please, let's go. Before we get to the Bill O'Brien section.
Yes, yes. Before we go from Bills to Bill, yes, 100%. I'm just going to give you like 2018, 2019, 2020 stats in one column so far. So let's go completion percentage, okay? 52.8 in his rookie season. 58.8 last year. This year, 70.9 through
how?
Four games.
How, God?
Now,
how?
Listen,
how, Sway?
I think, how, Sway? Tell him, Sway. I think we have smart listeners listening to this show who probably instinctively go, well, he's probably taken a lot more of the safe stuff. He's probably maturing in that way as a quarterback. Well, let's look at yards per attempt. 6.5, 6.7, 9.0?
I mean, if this is the greatest.
Listen, Nate, hold on, because that could be Stephon Diggs. He's got a new weapon
that,
now.
That was about to that point. The greatest endorsement of Stephon Diggs.
Well, you can say that, you know, maybe yards after the catch, it's really just been him taking more checkdowns and upping his completion percent. How about air yards per attempt? Would you be interested in air yards per attempt?
Give it to
hold
me.
Hold on, I gotta find it. I lost it again. I got so excited, I lost it. Hold on, adjust. No, it's not net yards. What happened to my air yards? I've lost it completely. Damn it.
But it's really good.
Advanced, right. Go ahead and say a thing about Stephon Diggs.
Look, Stephon Diggs is really good, and it's also a great indictment on Kirk Cousins. I mean,
I've
never loved Kirk Cousins. I'll be straight to Kirk Cousins' face. Sir, I do not love the way you play football. Particularly in big games. I mean, let's be real. The 49ers got to the NFC Championship in the easiest way possible. They played Kirk Cousins in a big game. And the other reason Kirk Cousins won a playoff game was because he played the Saints, who, by the way, are somehow cursed in playoff games of late. No, anyway, man, Stephon Diggs is so good.
All right, I found my stats. So here's the thing. His actual, like, intended air yards per pass attempt have actually gone down this year. You might say, yes, he's getting scurred. This is all happening on dinks and dunks. How about completed air yards per completion? 6.7, 6.5, 7.4. He's actually completing the ball farther downfield also.
That offensive line is really good. But that's
also true.
But I mean, everything's great around Josh Allen, which makes Josh Allen incredibly, unpredictably great. I love him. Look.
I'm here for it.
I wasn't thrilled that the Chiefs had another night game, but like, cool, whatever. But I was thrilled that I got to watch Josh Allen for 3 hours where the man is up. The coaching staff has to tell him, hey man, we're up double digits. If it ain't there, throw it away. Throw it away, Josh! Throw it away! And he takes these ridiculous sacks where he's like, no. I'm bigger than this defensive end. Sir, what? Like, what?
This is not air yards, but yards gained per pass attempt. 6.5, 6.7, 9.0! 9.0! He's throwing touchdowns on 8% of his passes!
The man he's having statistics similar to Patrick Mahomes in 2018!
Yes, he really is. I do not envy Bills fans, because I do think this beautiful, who flew too close to the sun? Which one was that? Hold on. Who flew too close to the sun? Icarus. Icarus flew too close to the sun. I think Icarus is going to have his wings melt a little bit at some point, just a little bit. But goodness, I'm going to enjoy it while he's still up there soaring up against that big, beautiful star.
And hey, let's build the hype train again. Let's get the Tennessee Titans healthy as possible. Let's get them against the Bills. Let's have Josh Allen torch them. And let's put this thing into turbo, into Fast and Furious. We on a runway that ain't never going to end with Josh Allen. Like, let's just do it, man. Let's make Josh Allen a football god for 4 days before they play the Chiefs.
I have a theme song for this section of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Brian.
Our
you
memorial
gave us
service.
So much. You gave us so much. Our hearts will go on forever.
Oh.
Deshaun Watson's might not. J.J. Watt. Did you see what J.J. Watt tweeted?
I'll never think of another man with glasses on top of his head the way I think of Bill O'Brien. Oh, J.J. Watt, free this man from
so
the
I
depths
of his soul. I think we're
probably
pretty close
soul.
To 30 seconds, so that's I'm turning that off now. J.J. Watt tweeted, while this podcast was recording today, a picture of whatever their field is called at Houston. The NRG Stadium, the
yes.
roof is open. He is standing in the end zone. He just took a picture of the open roof, empty stadium with the sun shining through the open roof in a way that, like, with no caption or anything, he just tweeted out the picture. And, man, it looks like he's tweeting about this bright, sunny, shining
it's day.
It's a new day. The Houston
it's a new day.
Day. It's a new day.
Oh.
I wonder so much what's going on in that locker room. And here's the thing. More than anything else, here's the thing. Now, listen. Are we glad that a man lost his gainful employment in the midst of a pandemic? Absolutely not. Is Bill O'Brien a man who has redeeming qualities in some places of his life? Absolutely. Is he? Do we know if he's a father? It doesn't matter. Is he married? Probably. Is he a wonderful husband, father, man, son, brother, all of those things? Almost certainly. If he is those things, I'm sure he's great at it.
Yep.
Did he get all the power in the Texans organization and then say, I'm going to do a couple of things. I'm going to trade away Deshaun Watson's best weapon.
Yep.
I'm going to bring in a running back that nobody thinks really has any juice left.
Yep.
And also we're going to run a fake punt against the Chiefs. And I'm going to get fired after four games. Hoof-a-doof! My goodness!
There are trades that this general manager made that the game known as Madden said, you cannot make that trade because it's not
right.
competitively savvy.
Right.
I just... The last time I gave you guys a Bill O'Brien story, I was in Kilroy's in downtown Indianapolis. It was the week of the combine. It was the last great travel I had before this pandemic started. And God bless Bill O'Brien. Stay true to form. Them glasses were on the top of his head as he was drinking Bud Light, as I remember, with some of his coaching brethren, most notably Doug Peterson and Mike Vrabel. To
I
which I
that.
Told some...
I would love to hang out with the three of them for just like an hour.
To which I told a couple of my peers in the sports reporting, sports writing industry, one of these people does not belong in this conversation. And we all know who that one person is. I threw slander at this man in an honorable manner for months. It gives me football pleasure that on Andy Reid's, who the podcast is named after, on his way to a Super Bowl championship, he uh-huh. changed the trajectory of Bill O'Brien's life as a football
mm-hmm.
coach.
Mm-hmm.
He was down 24 points and scored 51. All of this is to say, Romeo Crennel stepped down after...
Yes!
He stepped down after a playoff collapse of defensive epic proportions to become a senior advisor only to become the head coach 4 weeks into the season. What?
We're getting a full year from Romeo, baby.
Oh, just.
Who was
it
that had a little
so...
groin? Somebody had a little groin. He gave him kadoos. You got to give him kadoos. Oh, I love Romeo. I genuinely love Romeo Crennel. This is excellent. That's the best part of this whole thing, I think, is that we're getting Romeo Crennel. Is he also the GM? Who's making GM decisions?
Who's making decisions? Who knows?
They played four. Here's the thing. And this is also when I was out on Bill O'Brien. I was out on Bill O'Brien more quickly than they were out on Bill O'Brien this year. Because that man started Tom Savage for 30 minutes after a full offseason. They had a full offseason. Tom Savage versus rookie Deshaun Watson.
Oh.
Those two dudes faced off during a training camp. Tom Savage came in and played really poorly for 30 minutes. And then Bill O'Brien said, you know what? Now we're going to go with Deshaun. Listen, sir, you saw all of the offseason. What about 30 minutes of Tom Savage made you believe, you know what, it's time for a change. The Bears did it.
whatever it was, 2.5 games into the season, going from Trubisky to Foles. At the very least, those two dudes had like plenty of tape on each on them. And I don't know, you make your decision in week four. I feel like you probably should have made it sooner. Here's the thing with the Texans, though, now. The Texans got 4 weeks into this season and went, nah, you know what? We're good on this dude that is both our head coach and GM. If you would have fired this man after he lost to the Chiefs, which you could have done because you did it 4 games later, if you would have fired him then, you not only would have had Deshaun Watson throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, you could have had Eric Bieniemy drawing up the plays for those two.
I mean,
just bungled every step of the way.
Look, I'm going to say something that might be somewhat controversial. Lord, don't you put that on Eric Bieniemy. Don't you put that on that man. There are two teams who
you
don't have
yours.
Deshaun.
You pitch yours, I'll pitch mine. We've got our Eric Bieniemy destinations. I think we have two separate ones.
Don't put this on this man. Look, guys.
Don't put him in Houston.
They don't have first round picks. Look, they don't have top skill position players next to Deshaun Watson.
No.
I hate to say this. Deshaun Watson might be Warren Moon 2.0. Okay? Don't you put that on Eric Bieniemy. Don't you put him in a situation to fail despite having a truly great quarterback amidst some dudes. Lord, I've said it for a year now. There's a team in Detroit. A team that needs a shakeup. Dan Orlovsky, who I really have a lot of respect for. The last time the Lions were anything relevant, they had Jim Caldwell. Let's get back to a tougher, more disciplined, more emotionally resilient Lions team led by Eric Bieniemy. Because the Lions on Sunday went up 2 scores against the Saints and then crumbled like a cookie. That's where I think Eric Bieniemy will go. That is what I've predicted. I will stay with that prediction. Sorry, Matt Patricia. And then if that can't work, Lord, there's a team with Julio Jones.
Send this man to Atlanta.
Calvin Ridley.
Yes.
Matt Ryan. Yep. Hell, a revamped Todd Gurley.
I think Eric Bieniemy would love to work with Todd Gurley. Yes, Lord.
Just if it can't be Detroit, Lord, please be Atlanta.
I hope it's Atlanta. I'm rooting for Atlanta because I just like Matt Ryan's probably like sneaky old. I'm going to Google Matt Ryan right now and I'm about to find out that dude's like 37. He's 35. I think you get, here's what you do. You give Eric Bieniemy 1 year of the roster looking pretty much like it does right now. Maybe you try to work on that defense a little bit, but you give him this team, all right? You talk about needing to be a little more resilient. Maybe a team that's not as big into giving up huge leads. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's Dan Quinn's fault, but it sure can't not be Dan Quinn's fault at this point. Somebody's got to eat it, and it's not anybody else's fault more clearly than I can tell. Send him to Atlanta. Give him a professional adult quarterback with some great weapons that are going to keep him looking young. You got a running back there. You can hand the ball to if you want to get a few yards here and there. I'm good with all of that. Give him a couple years of Matt Ryan. Let Eric Bieniemy pick his quarterback. You're going to draft a guy, you know, do the whole Mahomes thing. Trade up from 25 or whatever to 10. Let him pick his guy. He gets a third year behind Matt Ryan there. And then now all of a sudden you're moving on to your next young thing. The Falcons are back in the Super Bowl losing games to the Chiefs in horrible fashion. You know what? No. In respectable fashion. In respectable fashion. A non-memeable fashion. I hope Eric Bieniemy ends up in Atlanta.
Yeah, hey, Eric Bieniemy's agent.
Also, that division is like a little sus right now.
Yeah,
it's a little suspect.
You could change that division around in 2 years. Tom Brady, as we all know, he gotta fall back at some point. And Drew Brees is in the midst of falling back. So hey, it's a division to be won. Eric Bieniemy's agent, don't pick up that phone from McNair. Don't do it. I know that I am breaking all professional ethical reporting codes right now. Don't you dare pick up that phone. Nope. If they call twice, send them straight to voicemail. There are bigger things on the horizon. Name the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, it's better. It's just better. Maybe you can go to Atlanta and then trade for Deshaun Watson.
Hey, if they don't have a GM, you might sneak one past them.
Yes, that's a great point. Just say, hey, Deshaun, you're the GM now. Trade yourself to Atlanta. I bet he would do it.
That's it. That's the podcast. Chiefs are 4-0. They're the first team to go 4-0 in, I think, four consecutive seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is good, even though that game was super duper weird. We will do another show, presumably, hopefully, with the whole band back together on, Thursday or Friday, ahead of the Raiders game. And I imagine we're all going to head into that game and be like, yeah, no, this one also shouldn't be that close. And then something weird will happen. And the Chiefs only play weird games. Bada bing, bada boom. Time's ours. There you go. There's the formula. You can read Nate's article up on The Athletic right now. About the defense right after the game. Another one coming up very soon. Seth's got some stuff coming by. You can check him out in the Chief of the North newsletter as well. By Nate Taylor, at Real MN Chiefs Fan, at JB Briscoe. You can go to theathletic.com/timesars to get a month of The Athletic for $1. Theathletic.com/timesars. Nate, you want the music again? I don't know. We might be leaving Fair Use Town. I can just sort of sing it in the background. You tell me what you want to
hear. Yeah, you sing it in the background while I eulogize, you know, Bill O'Brien's tenure with the Texans. At one point, he was considered to be the next great coach of the Bill Belichick tree. He even got out of Penn State somehow. And at the same time, he was given a truly generational quarterback. But as many narrators say, it did not go the way they thought it would go. The Bill O'Brien story, 2020.